Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com. Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Curlo. Ah, oh, come on. It's okay. A funny Friday. June Rogers is here, and we're going to be with you for the next 75 minutes here at the Dolmen Hotel. The Dolmen in Curlo.
The phone and have a moan on the Joe Duffy show.
Call Joe. Call Joe.
I've got issues. I can get no rest. But Joe's a bloke who at a stroke will get them off his chest.
Call Joe.
Keep it steady. Joe lets me do the talking.
Call Joe.
His face is ready and I've got trouble walking.
Call Joe.
Listen,
I want you to know.
I want you to save me, come and save me, Joe. I need you so. I am yours forever, yes, forever. I'll be tuning in every day from 2 to 3 before they let your daddy in.
Call Joe.
Come on, get those hips going, girls.
Call Joe.
Call Joe. Escape away. Your voice is oh so nice. I hear the sound of Ballyhoo, it's bleeding paradise.
Call Joe. Call Joe.
I can't feel you, the nicest thing I felt. Your sexy way with this and that transistor start to melt.
Call Joe.
Keep it steady, Joe lets me do the talking.
Call Joe.
His breath is heavy and I have trouble walking.
Call Joe.
June Rogers. June Rogers will be starring in the two Mrs. Brand's Pies Christmas specials this year on Christmas night and New Year's Eve. Where's Reggie? Reggie!
Behind you, old sock.
Reggie, how are you?
I'm very good, old sock. How are you?
You've come up from Cork. Tell us.
I did. The campaign.
Tell us a little bit about you. It's your first time on Funny Friday. Probably your last, but it's your first.
Well, after what I've just seen in front of me here, I'd be glad not to come again. I think it's good that happened on the radio. You didn't see Joe dancing. My name is Reggie, and I live in a 6.8 million euro mansion. Yeah? On the Black Rock Road. In Cork now. Right? Not Dublin, thank God. Right? And I'm the richest man in Ireland, but not for tax purposes. And I can't stress that enough because the revenue commissioners have taken to sending undercover agents to all my public appearances to try and catch me out. And it's always good fun trying to find the person in the audience who's here from the revenue commissioners. And I'm looking for somebody now in a Penny's shirt. Oh, there, the very man, over. Well, look, it's better than that poncho you were wearing the last time, but still, in fairness, nobody dresses like that when they're trying to enjoy themselves, okay? It just needs a bit of work. So listen, I'm running to be President of Ireland next year. And why not? Do you know why? Because you have suffered long enough under the liberal intellectual elite of Michael D. Higgins and that crowd above in Dublin. I know, filling your heads with notions of equality, taking your tax money to support the arts. Should you have no interest in the arts? When was the last time you were in an art gallery? Oh. It's a kind of a building that have paintings in it and what you probably call them pictures, right? And it's not like four dogs playing a game of cards, right? It'd be, right? You've no interest in the arts, right? So I want to give back to you, the ordinary people of Ireland. I want to be your voice, right? In your miserable Midland counties, right? Oh, jeez, you're very... Aren't they very touchy, Joe? God, you should be glad I came up. No, but I want to give a voice to you, the ordinary people of Ireland, right? And you're in safe hands because I'm already president of the Captains of Cork Industry. We're an elite business group. We're mavericks and we're risk takers who just happen to work in our old man's business. And we are in charge of looking after standards, maintaining the highest standards possible on Lee side, while paying zero tax and cheating on our wives. And I tell you, you'd be wrecked from it. What am I going to do as president? I have two main priority planks. The first one is constitutional. Now, it might have solved a problem back in the 1920s, the treaty, the 26 counties and the six counties, but I think it's fair to say that it's no longer fit for purpose in 21st century Ireland, this 26 county carry-on. Like, why should I have to share a country with people from Kilkenny? Right? Jeez, a few of them are after leaking over, obviously. Trust me, if I was doing this in Kilkenny, I'd say, why should I have to share a country with people from Carlow? But no, when we're not winning golds in the rowing in the Olympics. Hey, yeah. Thank you.
Well done, boys.
Thank you. And not to mention Oscars. Oscars, John winning Killian, Oscars, the best actor. Yeah. Most Cork people are looking at a map of Ireland and looking at Carlow and thinking, wouldn't that make a grand lake? Okay, so that's the first thing. I'm going to get rid of some of the deadwood counties. The second thing is, have we anyone here from Dublin? Joe, you're all right, we know. All right, I can't believe people are actually freely admitting to be from Dublin. Okay, I'm talking to the rest of you. Do you know when you save up all your money throughout the year and you go on your holiday to your little resort and you get there and the place is full of dubs? Have you had that experience? And your holiday is ruined. It's not covered by travel insurance. I rang into you about that. Right? And the worst thing, the place is full of dubs, but it's not. And the worst thing, of course, is Dublin people are very loud. It's all that shouting at each other in taxis. €35 for a 20-second ride, I don't believe it. And that's the taxi driver saying that. Right? But it's on the meter, he can't believe it. And what I don't understand is they get worse when they go on holidays, Dublin people. Have you noticed that? Drawing attention to themselves. Like, I'd be mortified if I was from Dublin, but it's all, Darren! Darren! They all have a son called Darren. Would you like the chicken nuggets or the pizza? And then the posh ones are worse. Fiacra! Fiacra! Did you notice that they've all given their kids Irish names in case Sinn Féin gets into power so they won't put them in jail? But now, it looks like Sinn Féin aren't going to get into power and you've all these poor Dublin kids stuck with horrible Irish names. Fiacra and Sive. It's an outrage show. Someone should ring in to a complaint on a radio station about it, if you ask me. No, but the holiday is ruined by these things, right? So I have a plan to deal with this when I'm president of Ireland. I'm going to initiate a 9-month passport. If you have a Dublin accent, you will surrender your existing passport and you'll be given back a passport that is not valid for travel in June, July, I think he's finally getting it, or August. So we can go off and enjoy our foreign holiday and Joe and his friends can bring their whippets down to British. Right? So ladies and gentlemen, vote Reggie for president and keep the dubs at home. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Reggie! 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 Where's Anna Rowe? Well, Mary. Mary. Mary, who do you want to say? Give us your full name, Mary.
Mary Nolan.
Okay, and who do you want to say hello to?
Hugh O'Regan.
And he's
in Luton.
In Luton?
Yeah.
And how long has he been in Luton?
All his life.
Okay. Well, he must have been born close to you. Were you? And where are you from originally, Mary?
Dainsforth, County Kilkenny.
Okay. And you want to say, do you think he's listening?
He is. He listens to you every day.
Okay.
Not just Fridays.
Oh, not Joe. Fair play. There's. Let me see what's here for you. Two tickets to the Olympia Theatre, the show band story. All right. Let me go around. Who's the other man here? Mary and John Joe are 25 years married. There's a midweek overnight stay in two separate rooms. It's here in the Woodford Dolman Hotel. Beautiful. Your room is a very convenient location. It's 5 minutes from reception. And it's just one, as you know, it's only 1 hour. There you go. And do you want to make a profession? Or a confession, John Joe. What do you want to say to Marie? Is it Marie or Mary? Marie, what do you... Thank God you got it right after 25 years. What do you want to say to her on your 25th wedding anniversary?
Happy 25 years married, Marie.
Jesus. He had 25 years to prepare that, and that's what he came up with. Have you got Donald Trump as a scriptwriter? Marie, what do you want to say to him after 25 years?
I love you. Thank you.
Look at the tears in John Joe's eyes. Look at him, he's afraid. Okay, where's Uteron here in Uteron?
Yeah, wait, hold on, before you start, there's a couple of things that I want to add. That couple over there, they're beautiful, to see them at the 25-year marriage, they are absolutely gorgeous. But that other fellow that wants to be president of Ireland, may I tell you, I'll bulldoze the Oris before I let him in.
It looks like someone started it last night. Uteron! We've the last few minutes, we've received information because I know Joe Biden is really... I don't know if you saw him running on telly this morning when he did. It was brilliant. He got those hostages out. He's in great form, but he's also revealed... He's given a little bit more background as to why he stepped aside, and he said it was after he had a telephone conversation with one of his best pals, the current president of Ireland. Your good self. What specific advice did you give him, Uteron?
On Chartercuts, you're right, so you are, Joe. I asked him as one of the world's most powerful leaders. He asked me to advise him on whether or not he should remain in the race for the forthcoming presidential election.
Yes, but I take it your advice was to tell him to drop out. You know, our listeners, if you don't mind me, we're interested. I know you have to just confidentiality, but what did you advise President Biden?
Well, what it was, I was just about going to bed and the phone rang and who was on the other end, only Joe. And he told me, he said he was strongly thinking of quitting the race. But he said, Joe, he said, there's one thing bothering him. And I says, what is it? He said, would I get the contributory pension? Right? You know, and he says, would I have a warrant? Just to find out on the QT.
Yeah.
I said, Joe Biden, a groin, I said. Surely you have enough stamps at this stage to get the pension. And I said to him, what I told him was, I said, look it, apply to the Department of Social Warfare. And, you know, Heather Humphreys. And when you get the pension, I am telling you, you'll be entitled to free electricity units, free fuel allowance, free TV allowance, the medical card, free travel, the living alone allowance, the back to school allowance, Green Shield stamps, butter vouchers, discount, student discounts, free banking. I said, Joe, for God's sake, you're daft working at your age. You'll be entitled to the meals on wheels, so you will. I said, if you get onto the crowd in the council, the county council in Washington, D.C., they'll put in these, what do you call them, these new low-fat windows that'll incinerate the house for you. And then he asked me, he said, you know something now? He said, President, he said, tell me this and tell me no more. Who would be somebody good to have a word with? You know, to get something from him. And I says, well, look at here. I says, will you go as far as the Really Hayes, Michael and Danny, and Micheál Macconfania, Michael Ring from Mayo, and, of course, Matty Master McGrath. I said, they're the boys that are sorted out.
Well, speaking of Michael Ring, last Tuesday he declared that he would not run in Mayo in the upcoming general election.
Sure, I know.
You knew that, did you?
I did,
I did know that.
You didn't have to say it, but I knew it.
Okay.
That's typical you. You keep repeating yourself. know that, but some days ago he rang me, so he did, and he said to me, he says, I'm thinking of, he says, not running the next time. And he says, would you have any soft number at the hour? Something now, a part-time job with a good salary.
Yeah.
And I said, have you anything in mind? Well, you know, he says, what I'd like now, he says, I'd love to be your aide-de-camp. He says, I could attend funerals. He says, I love funerals. He says, I couldn't care less about missing a doll vote in 30 years, but he says, I have never missed a funeral. And he told me, you know, on the day, he said, one day alone, he attended 13 funerals and a wedding.
13 funerals and a wedding. That's 13. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
The 13 people
so
were dead.
I'm so mad. And why was he so diligent? How did he manage to get around them
well,
all?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, Joe, he was very practical. What he said is he used to grade the funerals. Now, very important Fine Gael funeral, that type of a funeral, where there'd be 5 or 6 votes in a house. He'd go into the funeral and he'd break down and cry. So he would, and he'd have to be helped out of the funeral home. And he would sound like the Banshee of Inner Stymon. So now, that'd be a grade one funeral. A grade two funeral would be somebody that he wouldn't be sure that he'd get a vote. And he'd go in and give the next of kin a peck on the cheek. You know, the undertaker's kiss, cold as ice. And in a grade three funeral, it'd be a Fianna Fáil funeral. He'd photocopy a mass card and he'd put the name on it and send a letter of condensation or whatever.
But Uachtaráin, back to my question. Have you a job for him? Have you a job?
Well, I don't know. I thought looking at him that he'd make a lovely parish priest. And they're as scarce as hen's teeth, so they are. Or a minister for the Eucharist, because he was always found to be a minister. And, you know, he was well fit to give sermons in the Dáil. He mightn't have a lot to say, but he wouldn't stop him talking for about 2 hours.
I know the feeling. Michael Ring is here with us. Good to see you, Michael. Michael, I know, as I address Michael in his absence, his seat was held. He held that seat for 30 years, believe it or not. And he took the seat after Pádraig Flynn, the Flynn dynasty. And you remember Pádraig Flynn? And you remember? I remember. Three houses. Try it sometime. Pádraig, welcome to Funny Friday. Pádraig Flynn, come as a thought.
Tell me the Hanawa Air Force. Oh, yes.
And you're still hale and hearty.
Yes, and I'll tell you one thing, Joe, now. It is my great pleasure to do you the honour and all the audience here and all your listeners, you know, to grace you with my presence.
But Pádraig, can I ask you, now that Michael Ring has bowed out after 3 decades, will the Flynn name be on the ballot paper?
Well, I'm telling you one thing. I want to say this exactly. I am a class act. And I have to say that after 30 years, it was well time that he returned the seat that he borrowed from me. 30 years now. It took a long time to give back the seat, but at least we have it back.
And the name, the Flynn name, will be on the ballot paper.
You said it, Joe. P. Flynn is back with a bang.
In Mayo.
No. Joe. You're not listening to me, Joe. Been there, done that, and worn the T-shirt. P. Flynn's name will be appearing on the ballot paper in the American presidential election next November.
And what,
now, Joe, yes, my yes. Political ambitions stretch way beyond Dáil Éireann.
Yes.
Move over Donald Trump and let a real Republican Fianna Fáil man take over America.
And would you come back to Ireland much if you were elected, Pádraig, Acadha?
Well, now and again, sir. I come back to Castlebar in the county of Mayo and ride up the main street on a milk white stallion. And I have to say this now, I'll have to do a bit of fundraising.
Of course,
I was always good at fundraising.
How will you do that?
Oh, yes. We're going to have a few church gate collections and a GoFundMe page. I'll be setting that up.
Yes.
And a free phone number, take it down, 1850, donate.
And you'll be the first mayor president. But how will you keep all the houses, the White House? The house in Brussels, the house in Dublin, the house in Maitre. You should try it sometime.
Not easy. It is not easy, and I will try it sometime, and I'm a master at that and keeping housekeepers, but it is not easy in the current climate. I'm on about a half a million a year, and it is not easy, let me tell you.
Would you vote for P. Flynn? Yeah, there's your answer.
There's your answer.
Paddy, good to meet you, Mahogood.
How far are you?
Where's Bernie and Sonny? Bernie. How are you, Bernie?
How are you, Joe?
Tell us something about yourself. You're 20 years married.
Yeah, second marriage, yeah.
Second marriage, and that's the Sonny here beside you.
Yeah.
And how are you, Sonny?
I'm fine.
Okay. You're fine and Sonny. Do you get it? 20 years married. Okay. Are you based in Dublin?
Carlo.
Carlo, okay. Well, Carlo is Dublin. It's a suburb now. It's like Ballyferma. You're going to Swan Lake with the State Ballet of Georgia, and that's in the Borgosh Energy Theatre. Probably the best venue in the country, the Borgosh Energy Theatre. Okay. Where is Ollie? Ollie, are you there, Ollie?
Yes.
And how long are you married, Ollie?
51 years.
To the same woman, Ollie?
Yeah, woman all the time, Sandra.
And where is she today, Ollie?
Oh, she's recuperating from...
51 years of marriage to you, I know.
A new knee fitted. And Sandra, my wife's in Swords.
And where's the new knee? That's in Swords as well.
We have some new parts fitted in her.
I know, and you were telling me earlier she wanted to put in a claim but she hadn't a leg to stand on. So, do you want to... Okay, here, UB40. You must remember UB40. They're on in the RDS Simmons Court on Friday the 30th of August. Okay, is Doc there? Doc, where are you?
Good afternoon. Hello,
go ahead,
everybody.
Doc, tell us a few guys. Now,
by the way, Joe, I know the summer is here. I just threw out my Christmas tree. There's three fellas on the side of the road, and one fella is digging a hole. The other fella plants a pole in it, and the other fella fills the hill and puts the pole in. And the fella going by and says, "What are you doing, lads?" He said, "We're getting ready for the Olympics. We're going to run the Olympics." "And what are you doing in the Olympics?" He said, "Fencing." You know that when you go to the doctor, you know, you have to get an appointment. It's very difficult to get an appointment, isn't that right? I went to the doctor, I rang up, "Can I see me, doctor?" There's a 2-week waiting list. That's not unusual, 2 weeks waiting list. And 2 weeks later, I went to the doctor, Joe, and I walked in. You know what he said to me? "You should have seen me sooner." Now, there's a man who was three years away at sea, and while he was away at sea, he was in Tokyo. And he was near a pet shop in Tokyo. He saw a parrot for sale, and the parrot could speak 9 languages, and it was $5,000 for the parrot. So he said, "I'd love to buy that and send it home to my mammy in Dublin." So he paid for the parrot, paid for the transfer, sent it back. He arrived home a year later and he said to his mammy, "Did you like the parrot I sent you?" She said, "Yes, it was delicious." He said, "What? It was delicious." He said, "That language, it cost me $5,000 for that parrot. It could speak 9 languages." And the woman said, "Wouldn't you even say something?" Now, Joe, just before I go, I was at a funeral a few weeks ago of a good friend of mine. And the other way, I was lying there in the house and all the people were talking about him. Somebody said to me, "You're the gas man, Brendan." He said, "What would you like people to say about you if you're lying in the coffin?" That's a good question, isn't it? "What would you like people to say about you lying in the coffin?" I said, "I had the exact answer, Joe." Yeah. I said, "If I'm lying in the coffin, I want people to say, look at him, he's still moving."
talking about funerals, Doc, we'd a sad event. Wait, the neighbours near where my mother lived, Bridie, Maisie and Sissy, they're very three, they love me, they've been going around for years together. And just you talk about sad story and bad Doc and Bridie said, "My son... I'm 80 next, but my son has that place in Spain, in Nerca, and he wants him to go. Will I go?" And they said, "Go, Bridie, go. She says, I'm too old for takes. Don't go." So she goes. Bridie goes out to Spain, goes out to Nerca, and Sissy and Maisie ring her, and Sissy rings her and said, "How are you getting? Fantastic." She says, "I'm mahogany. I'm sitting by the pool, sipping Aperol spritzers. Right, and there's a half-naked servant boy. Now he's about 72 years of age, but he is looking after me. Anyway, what happens next? Maisie and Sissy get a phone call. There's a Brady after dropping dead in Spain. Oh, well, she so they bring her home and she's laid out there in Massey's and Ballyfermot. And Brady and Sissy go in. It's an open coffin, right? And they're standing around. Doesn't she look very peaceful? And look at the colour. Jeez, I tell you, Sissy, those 2 weeks in Spain did Brady the world of good. Introducing a new generation of entertainers. Well, he's been on the go for about 10 years now. Shobsy, how are you, Shobsy?
I'm very good. How are
What's your name in real life?
Shane is my birth name. Okay. I've been called Shobsy since I was about 10.
Okay. And you're going to do a cover?
Going to start with a Bee Gees song.
Yeah, okay. Are you ready, guys?
Yeah.
Now, brace yourselves. I want the listeners at home. I'm serious. I want the listeners at home to hear this man's voice because it's absolutely stunning. Off you go, Shobsy. You're in your granny's.
Thank you very, very much. How are you doing, guys? Are you picking that up there okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. This is called More Than a Woman.
Girl, I know you very well. Seen you walking out nowhere I never really loved before. But now you take my breath away. Suddenly you're in my life. Everything you know you got me working day and night. Just trying to keep a hold on you. Here in your arms I found my paradise. More chance for happiness. And if I lose you now, I'm sure I would die. Say you'll always be my baby. We can make it shine. We can take forever. Just a minute.
Can you help me?
Oh yeah, more than a woman to me. Oh. There are stories old and true of people so in love like you and me, and I can see myself. Let history repeat itself. Reflecting how I feel for you. Think of all those people. And I know that in 1,000 years I'd fall in love with you again. Is this the only way that we should fly? This is the only way to go. And if I lose it all, I'm sure I would die. Say I'll always be. We can take forever, just a minute at a time. More than a woman, more than a woman to me.
Everybody.
Incredible. He's performing, Shobsy is performing November 15th, the Academy in Dublin. And just before that, a gig just announced based on his performance today in the Vicar Rooms in Dalkey on August the 30th. That's Shobsy back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And welcome back to Carlo. What's your own name?
Nigella.
Nigella, and you're representing Wicklow.
Yeah.
A&D.
Under 13s mixed relay.
Great, brilliant. And you are under 13.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. Well done. And then there's your sister, Abigail. Yeah. And tell us, Abigail, what did you buy this week?
A horse.
A horse. And you bring the horse to France. How long have you been saving up to buy a horse?
A very long time.
Tell us. And it's not a rocking horse or a wooden horse. No, it's an. What is the horse's name?
Dixie.
Dixie. And do you love Dixie?
Yeah.
Is Dixie a man horse or a girl horse or in between?
She's a mare.
You know the world we live in. You have to cover all the angles.
She's a mare, a girl.
Girl, okay.
Yeah.
And what do you hope to do with her? Like, do you hope to jump or?
Yeah.
Great.
I want to practice more jumping.
Brilliant, brilliant. So the two of you are going to see the two Johnnies with your mother, Gail Hambridge. How are you, Gail?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
The first time I've seen your face.
Really?
The first time you've seen mine, so take that look of disappointment off you. Because I recognised the name, didn't I? Yes.
I'm always ringing you up.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, will you try and keep it to Monday to Friday? Please, please. What's your own name? Where's Jim? What do you say?
Can I wish my husband a happy wedding anniversary? We will, please God, be 21 years married on the 22nd of August.
This year. Took your time. 20. What's his name?
His name is Nigel Driver.
Nigel Driver. Brilliant, brilliant. Okay. And where's Jim? Jim. And what is it? You're Jim Gilbert. And it's your birthday today.
It is, sir.
And you're here with your pal. Is that correct?
That is right.
And how do you want to introduce her?
Fran. I met Fran 4 months ago here in the Dolmen at a dance.
Yeah.
And she brought me back here today for my birthday.
Oh, great. And you don't mind me asking, have you seen her in the 4 months?
Twice, yeah.
But you're going to see her again because you're going to Mrs. Brown's Pies, the live show in the Three Arena. In the Three Arena. Well done. Okay. Where's... Now, the events in Saipan that convulsed the country 22 years ago are subject of a new movie, you know that, starring Steve Coogan as Mick McCarthy and Aina Hardwick as Roy Keane. Roy and Mick are with us today to share their views on the movie Mick McCarthy. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, I'm all right. not great.
Why not?
Well, before we start, can I move the other side of you? I don't want to be stuck alongside of that.
Move around there, yeah.
Hang on a sec. I don't want to be stuck alongside of that tow rag for the whole of this interview.
Ah, now, Mick, 22. Will you not bury the hatchet?
Don't mind him, Joe. He's a bluffer. Joe, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know about it. I'd like to bury the hatchet, Joe.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But can we talk about the movie? And what do you think of the idea?
First of all, I don't understand why I can't play myself. I could do with a few bob. I've been out of work since I lost my job in Blackpool. Look, I understand the movie, Joe's been made in Saipan.
That's right.
And
you know I
speak a bit of Japanese, Joe.
Oh, I didn't know. That's impressive, Mick. That's impressive. And because they say Japanese is a very hard language to master.
Yeah, I've had no trouble with it. Got it sorted in a couple of days, Joe.
Are you serious?
Tell you the truth.
Give us a couple of sentences, Mick. Go ahead, take your time.
Why not? Mitsubishi, Kawasaki, Yokohama, Sakihuru, Nagasaki. Keeny weeny.
And what does that mean, Mick?
Obviously, Joe means he's a bluffer. He's like the rest of the big knobs in the FBI. Short of wankers, short of langers, bluffers, short of bluffers.
And Roy, why are you getting so upset there, Roy? I mean, you have to take that temper under control at some stage.
Joe, it's only 22 years ago. Obviously, it takes a while to get over these things, Joe. 22 years? You think it's only like yesterday?
I'm surely, Mick, you must be honoured that it's Steve Coogan that's playing you in the movie. He's an Oscar nominee.
No way. Have you seen him, Joe? Coogan. He's a snaky-looking geezer. I know what's going to happen with this movie. They'll make me out to be the devil incarnate. And as usual, they'll make Roy out to be Mr. Nice Guy. A knight in shining armour. But, Joe, can I say something?
Yes, Mick.
I were in Saipan, Joe. I know what happened, Joe. I were there.
And Roy, how do you respond to that, Roy?
The fact is, when we got to Saipan, don't mind. I'm not finished yet, Joe.
If you don't mind, Joe. No, I thought that was Roy doing an impersonation of Mick McCarthy, but anyway. I'm not finished.
But you know what happened, Joe? We had no balls. Yeah. We had no nets. Yeah. And obviously, we were playing the car park.
Right.
Fact is, when we got to Saipan, all the other lads were quite happy, Joe, going down the town, going down to the pub, having a bit of crack. But not him. Not him. He's like a bull scowling through a 5-bar gate, Joe. Sat there. He's never happy. No matter what you do for him, he's never happy.
And what's your reply to that, Roy?
It was the World Cup, Joe. Might come as a surprise to you, Mick, but you need balls to go to the World Cup. And obviously, going to that, I was sitting at the back of the plane with all the Blazers, John Delaney and all the other langers. They were up in the front eating prawn sandwiches.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what I think's the prawn sandwiches, Joe? Did someone's phone go off there? Was that your phone? Turn that phone off, right? Is that your phone? Switch it off now, right?
I heard about the prawn sandwich. I know you're upset with that, and that was just for starters. Go ahead.
Yeah. Joe, I'm nearly there. All the other lads were quite happy, sat in the back of the plane, showing respect to Delaney, our esteemed president, our leader, our chef to keep. More like our chef to carnage. They didn't have prawn sandwiches down the back, but I do remember John Delaney. He did send him down a party box of potatoes and a couple of bottles of Sunny Delight. But of course, they're never happy down there, Joe.
And Roy, how do you feel about? He's a fantastic actor, Aina Hardwick, playing you.
He's from Cork, Joe. Obviously, he's probably a son bloke, you know. Not like that Langer Reggie there. He's from the north side, you know. But no offence, Reggie there, by the way. But you know what I think a south side does generally, right? But anyway, Joe's a joke. Joe, I never heard of him. I never heard of him until I see him interview yesterday. Obviously, I rang the programme. And I said, his accent is totally off. I said, you've got to get a guy with a girly name playing Roy Keane.
Aina.
Aina, it's a girl's name. It's playing Roy Keane. And then, Joe, to make matters worse, you know who's playing me dog?
No.
It's an American poodle.
Oh, no.
Playing me dog, Joe. Oh. It's a joke. Triggsy will be turning in his grave. If it's not a joke, Joe, it's a disgrace. And Joe, I'm out of here. I can't take any more.
Okay, thank you, Roy. Thank you, Mick. And we're here in the Dolman Hotel in Carlow. And Josie, tell me about yourself and Elizabeth.
We worked together in the early 70s. Elizabeth was from Westmead and me, Carlow. And we ended up living within 4 miles of one another. Ah. And we have remained friends after rearing our children and et cetera.
Yeah, you sound very emotional, Josie.
I'm very emotional.
And Elizabeth, what was it that first attracted you to Josie? Was it her bouncy, colourful, magnificent personality that would have you in stitches within 2 minutes? Josie, tell us.
It was her personality, definitely her personality.
Okay. How would you describe her personality? You're laughing now.
I'm always laughing, Joe.
Now, that's the real Josie coming out to me now. Yeah, okay. The two of you are gone. Oh, this is a fantastic show, written through Peter Sheridan and directed by the wonderful Peter Sheridan. Two tickets, a mother of all the beans, with Imelda May, Olympia Dublin, 13th of August. There you go. We're here in Carlow. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Experience summer comfort for less. Explore our sale on curtains and bedding. Perfect time to update and freshen your home.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Come on, here we are in the Dolman, back in Carlow. What's your own name?
Philly Dunning.
And Philly and Mary, you want to say?
I want to say hello to my sister Helen and her husband Kevin, who lives in Canada 51 years and listens to you since you started.
Oh, they not suffered enough living in Canada. The most boring country. Is it? I don't know.
No, they keep up with everything. They love it.
Will you tell them hello?
Well, she's from Ballyfermot and she got married.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hold. That's probably why she's in Canada.
And I also have a sister, Pauline.
Yeah.
Who we're going over to see her in a few weeks. Yeah. She hasn't been well. No. And we also have Sandra.
Yeah.
And then my brother, Paul. Okay, so there's four of them over there, so we're heading off.
Yeah, do you want to do the grandchildren or the nephews? You might as well do them all at this stage.
Joe, there's 16 of us.
All right, goodbye, goodbye. You're going to see Keith Barry. Keith Barry, the wonderful Keith Barry, the Glen Eagle, the INSC Arena in Killarney, and that's Saturday, the 7th of September. And now for the Dublin Olympics, let's go over to the opening ceremony of the Dublin Olympics.
Thank you, Joe, and welcome, listeners, to coverage of the opening ceremony of the Dublin Olympics 2024, a spectacular directed by Roddy Doyle. Roddy wanted to highlight the social and cultural aspects of the city in his own unique style. Now, as you know, this was to take place on the River Liffey, but the tide went out. So what a setting we have here today as the opening ceremony of the 2024 Dublin Olympic Games begin live from Circle K Croke Park. From the left of the stadium, we see a number of Honda Civics driven at high speed across the arena. These cars are now being set alight while the RTE orchestra play Me Chariot's on Fire. The crowd is loving it. And now we have a celebration of the HSE. Several nurses can be seen pushing a hospital bed into the stadium while around 50 people chase after it shouting, "I saw it first," or words to that effect. And we have a large scale model of the new children's hospital. It's now rising up from the center of the arena. This apparently is to reflect perseverance and dedication. It's basically saying you that you keep going year after year after year after year, regardless of cost, and then one day, bam, you have an Olympic medal, or in this case, an unfinished children's hospital. Well, this is spectacular. Four large tower blocks now, or flats as we call them, are rising up in each corner of the stadium. And on top of each can be seen a young fellow in a tracksuit bottoms sitting on a piebald pony. This, we understand, is reflecting the equine spirit of the city and a nod to our very promising show jumping team at these Olympics. How did those horses get up there, you might ask? Well, apparently they used the lift like everybody else. And all this to the strains of Andrew Strong singing Mustang Sally. Now, the great apartment building boom is now portrayed in the centre of the arena by a large group of high-vis jacketed men performing synchronised scratching as they stare into the foundations of another apartment block. Each man carefully waving his breakfast roll in the air to the sounds of U2's It's a Beautiful Day. From all corners of the stadium, we see well-dressed men, or landlords, pushing wheelbarrows of cash while several young couples dance and frolic, having been just told they've the keys to a shoebox-sized room for €3,000 a month. And now, from the right of the stadium, we see a fleet of chip vans made famous by Roddy Doyle's The Van movie. These vans will feed the athletes across in the Olympic Village in Colchester. Supermax and TK Red Lemonade are the chief sponsors. People have been warned not to be seen anywhere near the place with a Big Mac or a Coke, or as Roddy Doyle put it, they'll be bleeding battered. Now, anyway, we've been told that the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, will make a dramatic entrance into the Olympic Stadium. We understand this will be James Bond-like. And yes, from high above the stadium, he is being pushed out of a Ryanair jet by Michael O'Leary. And here he comes, and look at this. A giant shamrock-shaped parachute has opened, bringing Simon down to earth. We believe the Taoiseach will be announcing the government sponsorship of our wonderful relay team. The government have been passing the buck for years, so they get the gist of it. And so now, the lighting of the Olympic flame. Roddy Doyle insisted on using local gurriers to perform this dramatic scene. Each will light a banger and feck it into a pile of tires. These twisted tires representing the intertwining rings of the Olympic symbol. Very clever. It also celebrates an annual night of mayhem on October the 31st when the city goes mad. We understand Dublin Fire Brigade will extinguish the blaze after the games if they can get to it. And so, finally, the athletes are parading their way into the arena. The Irish team flag carrier is our medal hopeful Sharon Curley. We can see another one of our runners, Paddy Clark. I don't think Paddy could run for a bus. Anyway, our flag bearer is doing us proud. Sharon is very popular here, with all the photographers trying to snap her. And so, from a spectacular and successful Olympic opening ceremony, it's back to you, Joe, in the studio.
Declan Callis. What's your own name?
Deirdre Butler from Kells, County Meath. I'm known as the Kells ambassador for the town of Kells. I'm well known everywhere, even the president, Michael D. Higgins, knows me.
Is that true, Oochteron? Is that true? Wherever he is, yeah?
Everyone knows me, Joe. I'm well known. I was often on your show before.
And where are you from?
I'm from Kells in County Meath.
Yeah, Kells, I know that. Yeah,
and
Kells,
I got the book of Kells.
It's the book of Kells. Yeah, you haven't got it back here from Trinity.
No, we haven't. I think you have it on loan. I think we're going to get it back.
Trinity have it on loan about 400 years. Can you imagine the overdue fines. Now, Deirdre from Kells, that's where you're from, isn't it?
That's where I'm from, Joe. I'm from Kells in County Meath.
You have a joke for me?
I have a joke for you, Joe. Okay, yeah. There was this man, he went into the chemist, right?
Yeah.
And he was...
In Kells?
In Kells.
Up the top of the town.
And he went in and he was looking for Viagra.
Ah, yeah.
And the woman said in the chemist, "Have you got a prescription?" "Ah, no, I have a picture of the wife. Will that do you?"
Abigail, what age are you? You shouldn't... excuse me. Now, the only thing I will say, you know, we get loads of free samples in RTE. You know that. Cars. You know, if you get a car now, you have to give it. If you get two tickets to go to the Gaiety, you have to either bring Kevin Backhorse with you or Marty Morrissey. But you can go. You can go. Anyway, didn't we get a load of Viagra in a few weeks ago? A load of Viagra. Yeah, the new brand. Yeah, we said, well, we can't. We have to. So I just threw them in my pocket. And I drove home that night and I was looking for money in my pocket. You know, change to throw into the toll bridge. You know, for the thing, to get the barrier up. The Viagra went into the basket with the money. And I drove back the following morning and the checkpoint was still up. Oliver, there's two tickets to the two Johnnies. There's 101 Dalmatians, the musical. There's the Cars.
How's it going? The name's Bond. Oliver Bond. Tough guy. Known to all my enemies as a spy who loafed me. The old man, he was a tough guy too. My ma used to call him our man of mystery. Cause a mystery to her why she ever married him. Ours was a broken home. Me dad was crap at DIY. He used to describe himself as a collector of empty bottles. Sounds better than alcoholic. The drink drove him to crime. Oh, it did. Yeah, it did. We suspected it would be the end of the marriage when he sold the old dear's wheelchair. Yeah, but he knew she'd come crawling back to him. Yeah, the drink drove him to crime, he did. Yeah, it did. I haven't got my glasses, Joe. I haven't a clue what I'm saying here now. Anyway, I miss the old man, though. He died playing cricket at the age of 96. At least he had a good innings. On the other hand, when I met me mot first, I thought I'd never lose. No.
Yeah.
She said I was a real prize bond.
Ah, of course, prize bond.
Yeah, I remember on our first date, she pulled me into this laneway.
Yeah, what'd she say?
"Right, Oliver," she says. "Let's see our boxers." But I'd left the two dogs at home. Nowadays, our relationship is a bit iffy. You see, unlike me, she's let herself go. We were heading off on a sun holiday, yeah. And she wanted to go shopping.
Yeah.
She said, "Oliver," she says, "should I buy a bikini or an all-in-one?"
All-in-one, yeah.
"Better get a bikini, love," I said, "because you never get it all-in-one." I don't know what happened next, but I woke up the next day in intensive care. The missus, though, considered herself a brilliant housekeeper.
That's true, great housekeeper.
She was married and divorced three times before we met and always kept the house. And she's full of little household tips. Oh, yeah. If she spills a bottle of red wine on the carpet, she immediately opens two bottles of white wine.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Drinks them and doesn't give a damn about the carpet. I remember coming back after being on assignment for a long time and was full sure she'd have a romantic dinner, you know, planned for me. She was so pleased to see me, she took out a bottle of champagne. I wasn't too pleased when the cork hit me in the eye. Especially when it was still in the bleeding bottle. Then she threw a prawn cocktail at me head. And that was just for starters. So I decided to go around to the flat of me PA, Miss Spendapenny. She's always fancied me. She started messing with the front of me dress shirt. Ooh. I could see she was looking for a cheap frill. Ooh. I thought to myself, I better get out of here quick, or I'm in for a rough ride. The bed was covered in sandpaper. So I went home to the missus. Yeah. The next day, she said she wasn't feeling too good, so I took her to the doctor. The doctor examined her and turned to me all concerned. He said, I don't like the look of her. I said, neither do I. But she can cook and she's very good with the kids. See, unlike her, I look after myself. As you can see, I work out. This isn't a big belly. No. It's a protective covering for me rock-hard abs. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in this game, you know, you have to look after yourself, you know, especially when you're involved with in spying. Every year I undergo a strict medical. I told the doctor I was a bit worried about me hearing. Oh, he said, what are the symptoms? I said, they're an American cartoon family. Well, what's that got to do with it?
Very good.
In this game, you live life on the edge, and the stress can lead you to addiction. I found myself addicted to the hokey cokey, yeah. But I tore myself around. Yes. Anyway, I gotta go now. I gotta do this again tomorrow.
In front of
a live audience.
Okay. Two tickets before the break to Swan Lake in the Bord Gáis. There's afternoon tea for two people here in the Dolman. Two tickets for Gabrielle. And we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
There's Alan. I recognise Alan in the crowd, the great Alan O'Reilly, the weatherman. How are you, Alan?
I'm good, Joe, and you? Welcome to Carlow.
After all these years, how long have I been talking to you now? 12, 15, 20 years?
Oh, longer than I can remember.
Stand up. I want people to see you. This is the man, the weatherman. Alan, and by the way, this is a hobby. I know you're a pro, but the great thing about Alan, and I want to honour him here today. Now, don't lose run yourself, but don't let the pressure go too high. I want to honour, because any time we're stuck, badly stuck, for someone to talk about the weather or the lightning or what's coming in, you ring Alan. Carlo Weather, he's absolutely brilliant. You're going to Crowded House in the Tree Arena. It's on Monday the 16th of October. What's the weather going to be like?
Be grand.
Grand, okay. Whereas who's got the 70... See, I have a thing in my hand. I'm trying to hold my microphone, so it's a bit awkward. Happy 79th birthday to Carmel Hayden and Pat Mealy, who is 70. Where's Carmel? Are you there, Carmel? Carmel! Oh, there you are. You don't want to talk. Okay. Are you shy?
You mean talk?
Yeah, but I've any idea when. Like, I'm finished at 3 o'clock.
Soon. Okay. I'll get her moving.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Now, that was worth waiting, hearing that beautiful accent. Where's that accent from?
Oh, it's from Kildare.
Oh, beautiful. What part of Kildare?
The Curragh. McGainy.
McGainy?
McGainy.
Is that in Kildare? We're now near Castle Dermot. No, well, I was only there the other day near Kilkee Castle. Recording The Meaning of Life. Yeah, fantastic location. Okay, who wants to go to Swan Lake? That lady there in the pink. See that lady, Anna Rose? See that lady there in the pink at the end? Well, just pass. I trust you all. Pass it over to her. Where's Reggie? Reggie, go ahead. Reggie.
I'll tell you a story, Joe. Yes. I was down in Skull recently. It's a very exclusive resort in West Cork. You wouldn't be able to afford it. Yes. Not even on your money. And who did I bump into but my gardener? And don't ask me what he was doing there. He says, Reggie, boy, I do you be seeing you with a different woman every day of the week. Right, I was down there with a very open-minded woman from Munch and Gladbach. Yeah. Well, I was livid with him. How dare he use the present continuous, the I do be, in front of a woman with a PhD? Because the I do be's, and I'd say you do be riddled with them. It's a real problem in Ireland, and it's holding people back. And what I've done in Cork is I sponsored a range of billboards through the city and the county, and it featured a massive picture of my gardener signing on the dole, because I fired him. And the caption read, "You do be talking yourself out of a job." And that has eradicated the I do be's in Cork, like polio, okay? And that's because I understand Cork. But now I'm in Carlow, okay? My insurance doesn't cover it, but I'm here anyway. And I need to understand, if I'm going to improve you in the same way, I need to understand you. I need to talk to an ordinary person from Carlow. Colm with the designer glasses down there. Not only are you ordinary, I'm told you're from Carlow. Would you come up here a second, please? Ladies and gentlemen, give Colm a big... Absolutely, he's coming up. Here, ladies and gentlemen, here's Colm. Good man yourself. Colm, as you're coming up there now, what people at home can't see is that I'm... See what I'm holding? And stand there now, Colm. That's a microphone. If you speak into that, they'll be able to hear you. What the people at home can't see is I'm holding... See this? Trust is very important in a relationship, Colm. It's an LD450. It's a lie detector.
It's fantastic.
It's my wife's lie detector.
Okay.
She bought it after 10 years of marriage.
Okay, off you go, Colm. Yeah, what do you want to ask, Colm?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, right? But first of all, I want to explain how this works, okay?
Yes, sir.
If you tell the truth, I'm going to ask you some questions, nothing happens.
Okay.
If you tell a lie, Colm, it makes this sound. Okay? And intermittently, that's every now and again, Colm, you have to tell them everything. Intermittently, it will give you a 5,000-volt shock. And there's a fierce, you get a fierce kick off the 5,000-volt shock. It's a real shock. It's like hearing there's a library in Castledermot. I couldn't believe it the first time I heard it. So, Colm, look, I need to calibrate this first now, okay? So, first of all, can you give me a correct answer to the following question? What is the capital of Ireland?
Take your time, Colm. We're off the air.
Dublin.
No. No, no, no. I want a correct answer to the question. All right.
Cork.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Very good. Could you... All right. And now, could you give me a correct answer to this question? What is 7 times 9? I'll tell you. 1 plus 1. What is 1 plus 1? We won't...
2.
Very good. Okay, we're ready to go. Question 1. Colm, do you live in a house?
No.
Where do you live? In a crenogue? Is it a...
An apartment.
Does it have planning permission?
I hope so.
No. Not in Carlow. Not in Carlow. How much do you earn every year, Colm?
I can't answer. 50 grand.
No, you're dead right, because the fella from the revenue will be taking notes about all of this. No, for fairness, good man yourself. Colm, tell me, have you ever pretended to be from Cork in the hope that you'd get more sex?
No.
Can I hear your Cork accent? No, Jesus, don't. We've enough trouble with that today. Tell me now, I'm told that the dating pool is very poor and very thin out in the country in the bog in Leinster, right? And you've all shifted each other at one stage or another. So, just looking around the audience here today now, can you list off the number of people that you've shifted? Okay, and if you've shifted, Colm, first of all, my commiserations, but second of all, would you put your hand up? There's a woman there down there shifted you twice. Are you here with anybody, Colm?
I am. Yeah.
Have you shifted her?
I have.
Right. And who is she?
She's my girlfriend.
Oh, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you're just shifting, aren't you? Very good. Okay, final question. How many gold medals in rowing did Carlo win today? Approximately now.
Zero.
Zero. How many gold medals in rowing did Cork win today?
One.
Two.
Two. So what's the score there to Cork v Carlow?
2-0.
2-0. Ladies and gentlemen, vote Reggie for president. Thank you, Colm. Well done, Colm. Thanks very much.
Okay, you'll find Reggie at reggieblackrockrow.com. He's in the Lee Rowing Club, or the Lee Rowing Club, on August the 19th. Bakers Park Clonmel on the 22nd of August and Galway on the 29th. This is... Jobsby.
Yeah.
Straight into it.
Straight in.
It's your own song. It's called Entertainment.
Yeah, this is my own song called Entertainment. And there's a bit that maybe I can teach you as we go. You might help me out with it. Okay. I just released this 2 weeks ago. It's brand new.
Just warning to Catherine Thomas. You can go home this afternoon, Catherine. We won't be off the air till 5 o'clock. But you go, Entertainment. It's a brilliant song. Let me hear it.
Here we go.
Again.
Cause you like entertainment, I like entertaining you. And when we get frustrated, I know just what we got to do. Yo, you still love telling me just what to do. Call me up every night and I'd come through. Each and every time. Your favorite thing was asking me for more. Baby, I'd sing until my voice was sore, and you were satisfied. Cause you like entertainment, I like entertaining you. When we get frustrated, I know just what I've got to do, yeah. Give you what you're craving, sing a clever line, back to the refrain when you're begging for some entertainment. This is entertainment. All right, repeat after me. Here we go. Ensemble in your room, super halftime performance just for you. Don't act like you mind. Cause you like entertainment, I like entertaining you, yeah. And when we get frustrated, I know just what I've got to do. What you're craving, sing a clever line, then back to the refrain when you're begging for some entertainment. Well, this is entertainment. All together now, one, two, three. Let's take it down. Here we are. I'll give you what you're craving, sing a clever line, then back to the refrain when you're begging for some entertainment. Well, this is entertainment. I'll move the way you ask me, perfectly in time. I can be your man when you're looking for some entertainment. Well, this is entertainment. Last time. Here we go.
That's Shelby.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Experience summer comfort for less. Explore our sale on curtains and bedding. Perfect time to update and freshen your home.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Daniel O'Donnell, Daniel, welcome to Funny Friday. I'm told you were a guest at the Taylor Swift concert.
I was, Joe. Yeah. I honest to God, I was. I was on the concert with her, Joe. And you know the way that came about. I wrote a song.
Oh, Daniel.
For the American, the former American president, Barack or Barring Barack Obama. Destination Moneygall.
Ah, beautiful.
It was a gorgeous to perform a duet with Taylor. My God, Joe. And we were coming towards the end of the duet.
Yes.
And she took my hand. Yes. And Joe.
Yes.
I had a connection.
Oh, in front
my
of everybody.
God almighty. Yeah. And she was wearing, you know, the Irish version of knee-high boots, sling-back Wellingtons, and a black little number, a tight miniskirt.
Was that you or Taylor?
Oh, well, I wish it was me, but there you are, Joe.
And she stayed in Kincastle.
She did, Joe. When she was finishing the concert, you know, I waited for her, and she just said, could she stay at my place? And she gave me a little peck on the cheek, Joe.
Yeah.
She gave me a kiss. And when I came home to Bongella, there was all lipstick on me, John, on me ear. Bongella went ballistic. And I got a fright when I look in the mirror. I thought I was shot in the ear, Joe, but I wasn't.
And she stayed with you, Taylor?
She did. The night we finished the last concert,
yes.
You know, she was to arrive because she was staying with me. Waited at the door for about 3 hours. No sign of her, just going to bed. I heard the racket in the sitting room. And I opened the door, Joe, and there was Taylor Swift's and all the Swift family. And all her support bands, the Birds, the Eagles, Counting Crows, the Dixie Chicks, they all flew down the chimney, flying around, Joe. And the carpet and the settee and the coffee table, Joe, I'm going to say, they were covered in shit.
Oh, my God.
Sorry now about the bold word.
But the place was a mess. Where's Michael Healy-Ray? Michael. I just want to, given the weekend it's in, I haven't been speaking to you since you. 5 Healy Rays now have been elected. What a dynasty.
We're now officially a dynasty. There's no stopping us now, Joe. And 3 weeks ago, we nearly went global.
Global?
Global.
How, Michael?
Well,
Healy
I'll tell you now how very plain and simple it was. We were plagued from the Biden crowd there, the Democratic National Committee or some crowd like that.
Yes.
They were onto us there morning, noon and night to know would Danny take over from Joe Biden.
Danny, what about Kamala Harris?
Or Pamela.
She's a second choice.
Sure, Pamela was way down the pecking order. The job was Danny's.
And did he take it?
He didn't then.
Why?
Well, for one thing, there, you know, they wouldn't let him run the bar and grocery at the same time.
In Kilgarvan,
and Danny said, no way would he go off for president if they wouldn't let him run the bar and grocery.
And would the Healy Rays be more Trumpian?
Oh, we're solid Trumpian, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, Joe, we're sure didn't we build half the wall? that was one of the biggest contracts we got in years, Joe. But you know, Joe, when I got the note to go over and join the Democratic crowd, I said no.
Yes.
I said the Healy Rays are men of principle.
That's true, yeah.
But if the money's right, Joe, you know you're...
Doc, a few gags. Where do you, Doc? You haven't been there, Doc.
No, I'm just saying, Joe, everybody just remember, there's only 140 shoplifting days to Christmas. There was a woman up in court, she wanted to divorce her husband. And the judge said, why do you want to divorce your husband? She said, I want to divorce him. He's careless about his appearance.
Okay.
That's not grounds for divorce.
No, if you're careless about it, no.
And she said, he hasn't appeared in 2 years. Now, a good friend of mine has decided he retired from work, and his wife said, you have to take up a hobby of some sort. So his friend of his tried fishing. So he said, that's boring, you sit all day, you might catch nothing. So he went fishing with his friend, they got a bag full of fish. Now, the people in the aquarium weren't too pleased. So he tried golf.
Yeah.
Anybody play golf? Yeah, golf?
Yeah, golf.
And he said, I don't think I'll be able to play golf.
Why?
And he was out the first time playing golf, and his friend said, how did you get on? Did very well, first time. Got 72.
Wow.
That's a great score, isn't it?
That's great.
And
the
second
hole,
and the second hole is a lot better. It could be a lot worse, couldn't it, Joe?
You could tell another joke.
It could be a living, yeah. Well, there was a man in Dublin bus. You've heard of Dublin bus, have you? Have you heard of Dublin bus, yeah?
Doc,
you know,
yes.
Joe. And he said, he went for an interview as a bus driver on Dublin bus. and he was a half an hour late for the interview, so they gave him the job straight away.
Today's Liveline team: Adam Hogan, Richard Stern, Tommy O'Sullivan, Stephen Higgins, Kieran Dunn, Lee Mullen, Damien Gavigan, Owen McLaughlin, Anna Rose Charlton, Tari Locker, Grant Producer, and Annette Egan is the series producer. Thank you so much to the Dobbin Hotel. And on behalf of the Director General, Kevin Backhorse, I want to thank you all for coming and enjoying, I hope, Funny Friday in Carlo.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.